Yeah, I think we're fine. Okay, we are rolling. Is that what that is? Okay, I'm not good at sign language. All righty. We are joined here on Anything Goes today by the legendary guitarist, Mr. Bucky Pizzarelli. Thank you for coming in, Bucky.
Thank you.
Appreciate it an awful lot. You are a local Jersey guy, is
yes,
that right?
From originally from Patterson.
You grew up in Patterson.
Right.
And how long were you there? You grew up there your
well,
entire period?
Well, until I got drafted and before World War I, II.
Uh-huh.
And I went on the road with a band right after I graduated Central High School and stayed in the service 2 years and then came back and joined the band again. I was on the road again for 5 years.
Okay, that was Vaughn Monroe, right?
But yeah.
We'll get to that in a second. Your name is John?
John, right.
Your name is John. How did you end up being called Bucky?
Well, my father always liked cowboy movies, you know, and he spent a little time in Texas, so I guess when I was born... You call me Bucky.
Okay. And it's stuck. So you've been
really
Have you ever been called John? I mean, your dad's name was John
no,
and your son's
no,
name is John.
Nobody calls me John.
Bucky in the middle there.
Right.
Okay, fair enough. Now, what were some of your early influences and what formed your musical basis?
Well, in Patterson, in those days, I would say the late 30s, we had a great school system there at Central High School, Eastside High School,
really?
And we had a couple of two full orchestras in both high schools with violins and everything.
Wow.
I mean, that's something you never hear of anymore.
Yeah, not enough anyway.
Right, and we were all involved one way or another, playing in dance bands and small combos, and that's how it came about. Everybody played an instrument.
Everybody in your school played an instrument.
Yeah, I think so.
That's amazing. Now, what about you had relatives that were also professional musicians?
My two brothers were banjo players and guitarists.
Uh-huh. What kind of gigs did they play?
Well, the younger one, Bobby, went on the road with Clyde McCoy, Buddy Rogers, dance bands. You know, they played at the Meadowbrook a lot.
So they did dance band gigs.
Yeah.
And they influenced you?
Oh, definitely. They gave me lessons. You know.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
Hey, it's all in the family.
Yeah.
Saves a little money. Was there was somebody else in the neighborhood in Patterson that I understand was an influence on you? Is there a Joe?
Oh, Joe Mooney.
Joe Mooney.
Oh, Joe Mooney was sort of the father of all the musicians in Patterson. He was one of the greatest musicians I ever met in my life.
How so?
Well, first off, he was a blind accordion player. And I have a picture of Joe with my uncle and his original quartet when they were in Knickers.
It was Joe's quartet?
Yeah.
Okay.
And they played in a place called Sandy's Hollywood Bar and Grill in Patterson.
Uh-huh.
And 7 nights a week. And they were always involved with big bands, Russ Morgan and Frank Daly.
Wow.
Benny Goodman. And I saw that, and I said, that's what I want to do.
Because you loved the music? Because
The music.
The music just really hit home with you.
Yeah.
Were there recording artists that you heard that also...
There weren't any recording artists in those days. There were, you know, the Benny Goodman Sextet had the star, and that group was Charlie Christian, a great... electric guitar player.
Right.
And then we heard a lot of great players on the radio. We found out who they were, and every time we tuned in, radio was big in those days.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, we had great radio shows, great musical shows.
Was this the 40s?
30s.
The 30s, okay.
Late
30s. I didn't want to ask, how long have you been in the music business, Bucky?
Over 60 years.
Wow. Wow. You got into it when you were 16, 17, right?
Yeah.
So we can add that up.
Yeah.
Okay. Still going strong. Very cool. Very inspiring. You are tuned in to Anything Goes on member-supported WFDU-FM. I'm Lise Avery. We are talking to Bucky Pizzarelli. So let's get back to Vaughn Monroe. You hooked up with him in 1943? Is that right?
43, yeah. I was just about to graduate, and I was on Christmas vacation. And most of the sidemen were being drafted.
Oh.
And they called me, and they needed a guitar player to go with Vaughn's band. And so I jumped on a bus and went to Scranton, Pennsylvania, did a couple of one-nighters in that area.
Uh-huh.
And they came home, graduated, and went back on the road with Vaughn.
Wow. So you were about 17 at that time, and then what? You were
well,
also...
I turned 18 in January, and then I got drafted myself.
Wow.
You know, in April.
Mm-hmm. And you, how long were you in the service?
I was in there 1 year. I went a year overseas and a year in the States, and then when that was over, Vaughn took me back because I was in the service.
Were you a musician when you were
no,
in the service?
No. Well, yes and no. Yeah, we were in an unauthorized band. Yeah.
Oh, an unauthorized band.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. And when you went back to the Vaughn Monroe Band, you guys were doing gigs, and you also had a radio show?
That's right. Vaughn had a Camel Caravan, big cigarette.
Camel Cigarettes.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we had that for about 5 years. You know, all the time we were in the band, we did a radio show every week.
Wow. Steady work is a very good thing, especially.
Yeah. Well, we were on the road doing it, so we always did it. If we were in Indiana somewhere, we'd be at a big college, you know, Notre Dame or something like that. We had a built-in audience.
That's not bad either. So sometime in the midst of that steady work with Vaughn Monroe, you met your wife?
Well, that was later, yeah. Just near the end of the band, well, the band was about to disband.
The band disbanded. You left in 1952, it was the band disbanded?
Well, that's when it finished up, yeah.
I didn't realize, okay.
Yeah, then I went briefly with Joe Mooney for a while. I played with him in New York, and then he moved down to Florida. I got married, and I got lucky. I got to do the Kate Smith Show in New York.
Oh, yeah.
It was a five-day-a-week TV show.
Now, that was the NBC studio.
Yeah, that was a staff job.
So you got hired to do the Kate Smith Show. Is that that when you're at the part of the NBC studio band, that the what you do? You go in to however many episodes?
We had to do, we did it live every afternoon.
Of course you did it live. It was the 50s. Of course you did it live. Wow, that's wild.
We heard everything, you know, all the mistakes and... All the drop mutes.
Oh, my gosh. And who was leading the band?
Oh, Jack Miller. It was Jack Miller.
And you stayed with NBC long after the Kate Smith Show.
Well, no. When that show ended, I went with a small group. That was the last year Kate was on the air.
Okay.
And I went with a group called the Three Sons. Mm-hmm. It was an organ, accordion, and guitar group.
Okay.
They used to work at the Piccadilly Hotel. They had a big gig in Vegas.
Okay, so that where Piccadilly Hotel?
It was in New York, next to the near the Astor.
Okay, I haven't heard that name before.
Yeah,
Thank you.
Then we went to Vegas for 6 weeks, and then we traveled around. I stayed with them about 2 years. And then the big rock and roll thing started to hit with the recordings, you know. So I ended up going back and doing studio work in New York City.
Didn't you work with Skitch Henderson and Mitch Miller at NBC as well?
Yeah, I worked with... Well, when I was on NBC, sometimes they'd farm you out and you'd play with Skitch or you'd do... I did the Mitch Miller show as an outside musician, you know, and not as a staff musician.
I got it. So you were called in on sub or whatever.
Yeah.
Is that when you met Rosemary Clooney? Did you meet her when
I met her a long time. Yeah, she was a guest on the Camel Caravan many times.
Was she really?
Yeah, yeah. Sure. She and her sister. They were both on. You know, we had some great guests in those days. We had the Art Tatum and Benny Goodman Trio. Slim and Slam, Count Basie Rhythm Section.
Wow. Well, that was the medium at the time.
We saw them right up close, you know, and that's a music lesson right there.
Well, kind of like me looking at you, Pizzarelli. You're tuned into Anything Goes on member-supported WFDU-FM. I'm Lise Avery. We're hanging out with Bucky Pizzarelli. And you began a long association with Skitch Henderson from your days at NBC.
Well, I was doing so many rock and roll dates. Three sessions a day.
Wait a minute. What decade are we in? The 60s now?
Yeah. Okay. Late 50s, early 60s.
Okay.
And it was crazy music, you know, playing all those triplets all day long, rock and roll, Dion and the Belmonts and all that. I said, I'm not doing anything here. You could do it in your sleep, you know.
Yeah.
So I went back on staff again with Skitch on The Tonight Show.
Oh, I didn't realize that, too.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was with, his name's escaping me, Steve Allen.
Right? No, it was with Johnny Carson.
Was Johnny Carson at that point?
Yeah, in 66.
66, okay. And when did Doc Severinsen take over
Doc
that
took
gig?
Over about 3 years later. He came in. It was Milton DeLugge came in after Skitch, and then Doc came in.
You still work with Skitch over at Carnegie Hall sometimes,
right? Oh, I see him
right?
a lot, yeah.
And you
yeah.
have a terrific album out on the Arbor's label.
Yeah, with Legends. Those with the strings, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of violins.
Yeah, well, only four violins, but they're real good.
Yeah, it's a really, it's a terrific album.
Those are arrangements that Paul Whiteman used to use. You know,
is
he
that
used to
so?
Feature each section, and this particular section he called the swinging strings. And just four violins, not a string quartet, just four violins that all, they all play jazz.
Wow.
And I think they sold more records than the band itself.
That's really something. I didn't know Paul Whiteman used violins so
much. Oh, yeah. He had a big orchestra.
Tommy Dorsey used to call them the mice, right? Yeah. And they hire them as a tax deduction. You met Benny Goodman while you were with Vaughn Monroe's band?
Well, while I was on a Tonight Show, I got to meet Benny. And I ended up going to Europe with him for 6 weeks in 1970.
Okay, so that was later on.
Yeah, much later.
In Benny's career. But you got, I read that you got to know Benny in 1958 on a jingle game.
Yeah, we did it was a Texaco, a jingle for Texaco.
You
gas,
trust
yeah.
your car, but one that
those,
one?
Yeah, something like that. And they brought Benny in just to play, but a little, you know, his ending, his famous ending.
Hey. Whatever pays the rent. Now, I've spoken with a number of people who didn't really get along with Benny.
Well,
did you get along with Benny?
All the time, yeah.
You
yeah,
did?
I always did, yeah.
So he didn't make any faces at you?
No, but, you know, Benny was a side man the way we were, you know, and he knew all the answers to all the questions, and he knew all the questions before he knew the answers. And you know, you couldn't put anything over on him. So when somebody gave him a hard time, he gave them a rough time.
Well,
I think he never fired anybody. I mean, he just made it rough on you. You quit.
Okay, hey. That's a style.
Yeah,
it's a style. That so when you went to Europe with Benny, did you guys keep in touch between your original contact? Did you gig at all in between those times?
Oh, yeah. Well, this was 6 weeks. I mean, I just took a leave of absence from NBC and went on his trip with Benny. And he had it was an all-English band.
Uh-huh.
So he got the band from London. All crackerjack guys are real good. And we did 26 cities in Europe, including Bucharest behind the Iron Curtain.
Now, you had four children, right?
Yeah, yeah.
With your wife Ruth.
Yeah.
And what percentage of the time were you on the road when your kids were little?
Well, I was always home.
You were.
I mean,
it seems like
time.
You had a steady gig at home most of
well,
the time.
Well, this
right?
except for this first time we left New York was in 1970. It was 6 weeks. In fact, my wife Ruth was with me on that trip.
Oh, that's really nice.
Yeah. Yeah. The kids were all going to school, so every time we call, yeah, they're not home yet, you know.
Well, that's the way you want kids,
yeah.
Right? So you logged a lot of miles, but you got to take Ruth with you, which
yeah.
is really wonderful.
Yeah.
Now, I think everyone knows John, of course. Your son John is
right.
a very well-known jazz guitarist in his own right. Martin plays the bass.
Right.
Right. And you have two daughters as well. Are they musicians?
Yes, Mary and Anne, yes. Well, Anne plays the piano and Mary plays guitar. In fact, she recorded with me when she was 14.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you happen to remember the name of that album so we can
It's a Big Spiderbeck it? Album, and one side is Big Spiderbeck music with a group of guitar players.
Uh-huh.
And then on the other side is music of Carl Kress, who was the guy who inspired all the guitar players in New York City playing studio gigs. You know, he and Tony Mottola played some great duets.
Wow.
And there wasn't much repertoire in those days, so everybody latched onto those duets and solos that he had written.
There wasn't much repertoire? Can you explain that?
Well, they were coming from being banjo players to playing guitar. So there was a little, I would say, a chordal style of playing a guitar. And that's what they did. They played not single notes. They played mostly chords.
Well, you have said that you still approach a song that way so that you can get to know the pattern of the song.
Definitely.
That's right?
Yeah.
Before
yeah.
you start to improvise.
Yeah.
So you agree with that approach?
Oh, definitely,
certainly.
I mean, I got to play with him a few times on a studio gigs, you know, but he was a great inspiration to a lot of guys in New York City.
Wow, that's quite a tribute.
Yeah.
You are tuned in to Anything Goes on member-supported WFDU-FM. I'm Lise Avery. We are talking to a legendary rhythm guitar player, Mr. Bucky Pizzarelli. Now, Bucky, you play a funny-looking guitar, don't you?
No, I don't.
There's something funny about your guitar.
Well, it's got a thicker neck, and it's got an extra string.
Oh.
That's what you mean?
It's Benedetto makes this for you?
Right.
Did you design?
No. I just made the neck a little wider to put that extra string on there. That's all.
Then why the extra string?
Well, it's got a low sound to it, and then if you want to play solos, you're not limited the way you are with a six-string guitar. And I mean, it's the complete guitar. When you play a seventh string, you have everything at your fingertips.
So that it gives you a bass note.
A bass note to work off of. That's right.
Wow.
And keys are no problem. You know, when you play solos on a sixth string, you have to play open keys, G, and D, and A.
Right.
And you use whatever open string you have. You're sort of cornered. But when you have a seventh string, you can play in any key you want.
Why aren't all guitars seven-string guitars?
Well, everybody's playing them now.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Does your son, John, play seven-string?
Oh, yeah,
seven
he does. Sure
okay.
He does.
That's good to know. Now, when you began, when you left NBC, you played for a while on the Dick Cavett Show on ABC as
Yeah, I did that. I went to ABC, and Dick Cavett was on the air every night, same as Carson, you know.
He was a big hit. He was a big thing.
Oh,
I remember
yeah.
Dick Cavett.
Yeah, and then Jack Parr came on, too. I was doing his show, too.
That was before Dick Cavett, I think.
No, he went over to ABC.
Really?
And he did some TV there.
I guess I don't remember that.
Yeah.
That was in the 60s as well, in the late 60s?
Maybe 70.
Huh.
Yeah.
No, I was an early teen at that time, so I wouldn't have been paying any attention. Now, and then you began touring after that and doing more recording. You left your steady
The
TV
recording
gigs.
Started to fade away because the rock groups were all self-contained, and they made their own rhythm tracks.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to what we used to do, make the rhythm tracks for them, and then they would sing and do their bit. So it left the studio guys out in the cold, you know.
Wow. So some of the people that you toured with, can you name some of them for us?
Oh, toured with?
Yeah. Or we'll get you recorded with as well.
Oh, yeah. Well, I recorded with a lot of people, you know, Peggy Lee and Rosie
mm-hmm.
Clooney, Tony Bennett. Did a lot of recordings with Tony.
Do you still work with Tony Bennett?
No, I've seen him. The last thing I did with him was, I think he did a duet with Billie Holiday. They took her voice off a Count Basie record.
No kidding.
And while they were doing that, we played along with her, and then they added Tony, and it was a real tricky
it's
thing.
It's like the Natalie Cole thing.
Yeah,
Who did that for Irv?
I'm not sure what company that was.
Is that out at this point?
Oh, it's been out. Yeah, it's been out for 4 or 5 years now.
I've got to find out what label that's on. I'm going to have to rattle somebody's chain here and find out why I don't have that recording.
Yeah, it's a duet we only did one side with her, that's
uh-huh.
all. It took all day to do it, you know. You have to play the recording and just aim for her voice and take the band out, the old Count Basie band.
Wow.
And then the studio guys would have to do their thing with her. And then they'd have the recording, and then they had to elongate it to get Tony in there somehow.
Isn't it amazing what they can do with the digital stuff?
With the scissors.
Used to be scissors. Used to be a razor blade, right? It doesn't happen anymore.
No.
I watched them do
well,
it.
Well, the screen is great, that little screen. It put them all together. It's fabulous.
Yeah, all the sound waves that you can sort of mesh together. It is remarkable technology. Bucky, you are generally known as one of the best rhythm guitarists. Can you define a rhythm guitarist for us?
Well, that's the most important thing on a recording today. And any band, Benny Goodman's band, Count Basie is the prime example. Freddie Green played rhythm guitar. When he passed away, I mean, the band doesn't sound the same unless you hear that thump. And when you hear a good Frank Sinatra record, you really don't know it, but you're listening to the guitar player.
What's the guitar player doing? He's laying the foundation.
He's doing bump, chink, bump, chink, bump, chink.
And you heard it here from Bucky Pizzarelli. You make it sound really simple, Bucky.
You know something? It's the hardest thing to do.
I'll bet.
Yeah, because it's not... you're not doing anything to the record. You either do it right, or when you do it wrong, the record, you're spoiling the record.
So your sense of time has really got to be impeccable.
Oh, it's got to, yeah, that's right. That's right.
I got
so
it.
So all the good bands always had good guitar players with them that knew how to do that. So when we went over to the recording, from the dance band to the recordings, the good rhythm players got all the recording sessions.
I hear that. You know what? More good so musicians than a, still do.
More so than a soloist. That comes before the soloist is the rhythm guitar.
Because they could count on the foundation.
Oh, yeah.
The rhythm guitar.
That's right.
Very interesting. So next time you're listening to a recording, you got to listen for Bucky doing the bump chink, bump chink. You have traveled all around the world, Bucky Pizzarelli. How many places have you been, if you can quantify them?
Well, it's mostly Europe and Japan. I've never been to South America. My son keeps threatening and taking me down there, but I don't know. I don't think I'll ever make it.
Oh. Would you like to go?
Yeah.
You would like. So that was going to be my next question. Is there some place you'd like to go that you have not yet been? So you'd like to be, have you been to Australia?
No. I've had a few trips I just couldn't make, but... Japan, it was glorious. I love it, and the same with Germany and Italy, and all of Europe, England. I was there in May in Blackpool, England. Mm-hmm. Yeah, on the Irish Sea.
Nice.
Very beautiful place.
Very beautiful. Do you play a lot with your son John and,
well,
and Martin?
Well, we play a lot. Yeah, we do. You know, he's got his own trio, but once in a while we do a gig. We did. Feinstein's in L.A., and then Feinstein's got a club here in New York. We're going to be there in June.
Oh, really?
For 2 weeks, yeah.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah.
That's good to know. I actually went to see Rosie Clooney when she, in the beginning of Feinstein's, and you subbed it out to that guy, John.
Yeah.
You did not show up. I was very mad at you. Now, somehow with all of the work that you've done, Bucky, over the years, you've always been your own agent and publicist. And
that's right.
How the heck can you do that and do all of the gigs that you've done?
Well, people call you. If they know you, they want a certain thing, and they say, well, let's do this, and we do it. That's all.
Remarkable.
Yeah, somebody
just
else
like
told
I
me
did.
That last week. Yeah, no agent, no... well, agents call me, but they do piecework.
You've never had any problem with that with your...
No, never.
Does your wife assist you with coordinating all of that?
Yeah, we have a book. You know, we either do the gig, we put it in the book. If it's in the book, we have to be there.
It's pretty basic. Do you mind if I name the town where you live here in New Jersey currently?
Oh, yeah.
You live in Saddle River.
Yeah, that's right.
And you lived across the street from the Nixons at one
point? No, not across town.
Across, yeah. Oh, okay, the other side of the tracks,
yeah,
was it?
Yeah. Well, John and I played for him once. I think it was his wife's birthday.
Uh-huh.
The day before St. Patrick's Day. And we knew the bodyguard because they'd all be hanging around down at Hohokus.
Okay. Who's hanging around in Hohokus?
Well, his bodyguards. He had a whole gang of them. He'd go get a haircut. He'd sit in the chair, wait for somebody to, you know, he'd wait in line like everybody else.
Is that so? Yeah. That's a very humanizing story about Richard Nixon, actually. That's very interesting.
And one of his guards said, hey, you want to come up and play for him some night? And I said, yeah. He said, well, this Friday, come on over to the house. And we went over, and we played for about a half hour.
Did you enjoy
getting
to know them?
Oh, it was great. Yeah, sure. Playing for a president of the United States.
Yeah, that doesn't stink. That doesn't stink. You are tuned in to Anything Goes on member-supported WFDU-FM. I'm Lise Avery. We are talking to the remarkable Bucky Pizzarelli. Did you ever play at the White House?
Oh, I played there with Benny Goodman for Reagan, and I played there with Sinatra for Reagan as well. Mm-hmm. And then the last time was with Clinton.
Oh, really? So you've been there very recently.
Yeah, three times I was at the White House.
Well, George Bush has to work on his taste in music. And we talked earlier in the green room about Jay Lenhart. You formed a band with Jay as well?
We got together at a little club called Zeno's down in the Village.
Oh, I know that place.
Yeah. Well, John Bunch was playing there with Jay, and then one night I went in the sub, or I don't know how it happened, and we hit it off so well that we started making records under the title New York Swing.
Oh, okay. Was that on a particular label, or?
I forget.
Is that stuff still available?
First place was. I don't know if it was Arbor's or not. I don't think it was Arbor's. No, it was Sonny Lester's company.
Oh.
Anyway, we've got about 10 albums out.
I'll have to look that stuff up.
Now they change it to Manhattan Swing, and then whoever got the gig, that was the name of the trio.
Yeah, but it wasn't Bucky Pizzarelli, Jay Lenhart, and John Bunch. So, you know.
Yeah.
Now, you were, correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm just going on materials, of course, that were given to me to read. You were first call. As rhythm guitarist for Frank Sinatra, Rosie Clooney, of course. I have personal witness to that. Helen Ward, Lee Wiley, and Carmen McRae.
Yeah, we made records with her, too, with Zoot Sims.
With Zoot Sims.
Yeah.
And you continue that status with Roberta Flack, with whom you had a hit record.
That's right. Her first hit, I think it was.
The
first time ever I saw your face. Yeah.
Yeah. What are there some other famous pop tunes, hit pop tunes that you've played on that we should know
Georgia,
about?
Oh, Georgia. I played on Georgia.
The Ray Charles?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. That and all of Dion and the Belmonts.
I have no expertise about that music whatsoever.
You led a sheltered life.
Privileged, really. Do you have any good stories you'd like to tell about any of these wonderful people that you've
worked with? Well, Benny Goodman story. There's one about Benny when we played at the Carnegie Hall. It was like a 38th anniversary of his
in concert in 38.
Yeah.
Yes.
And
it would be 76.
Cleo Lane was on.
Uh-huh.
And the way we rehearsed it was that we had to play the opening number. And then after the opening number, we were to vamp. And Benny would leave the stage. And her husband would come, Dankworth.
John Dankworth, yes.
And take over the band. And then she would walk out while we were vamping. But when she and Benny bumped into each other on the stage, Benny's clarinet got stuck in her hairdo.
Oh, that's a nightmare.
You like that one?
How long did that wrangling continue?
Well, he was trying to save the reed, and he's pulling on her hair, and he's wrecking her Afro hairdo that she used to have, a big one, you know. And all the while she was singing, he's on his side pulling hairs out of his clarinet. You know?
That's a good one,
you
Bucky.
Like that?
Tell us some more. Oh, my gosh, that's funny. I guess you can't play a reed that's full of hair. I'd like to take this opportunity to name a few of the other people that again, according to my information, you've done studio gigs with, in addition to Benny Goodman, Doc Severinsen,
yeah.
Stefan Grappelli. You've done a number
of
recordings.
Yeah, I was on tour with him whenever he came to the States. In fact, I worked with him in Europe as well.
I'm such a fan of Stefan.
Oh, he was great.
Do you have any good stories about Stefan Grappelli?
Well, no, he was the partner of Django Reinhardt, so that's the closest I ever got to Django Reinhardt was playing with Grappelli.
Yeah.
But he told me that when they first heard the Benny Goodman Quartet, that they almost quit playing. Because it was so fierce, you know, with Teddy Wilson, Lionel Hampton.
Yeah, Gene Krupa.
And they were trying to emulate the Americans, but when they heard Benny's thing, it scared them to death.
That recording of the 1938 Carnegie Hall concert is just... You just don't know what to do with yourself when you listen to that. That's actually been that was re-released a few years ago on CD. I hope you have it.
No, I don't have it.
I'll get it for you. I'll call somebody over at Columbia Legacy and get a copy for you.
It used to be a 78, you know, and during the drum solo was part one and part two. You know, you flip it over.
No, that's brutal. Do you know that Benny actually made a recording of a 1938 Carnegie Hall concert, and he stuck it in his closet?
Oh, that's right.
Right?
He never listened to it.
I know that feeling.
Yeah.
Do you that as well? You make recordings and then you just don't.
Well,
you know,
I do that with all my. Whenever I make a record, I like to step away from it for a little while. Then I'll between the time I finish it and by the time they rehearse it, they release it. It's a big void in there, you know. So when I hear it again, it's a little more fresh in my mind.
Do you enjoy listening to your own work, or do you hear only the things that you wish you had?
I never play it. I play maybe the first, as soon as I get the new record out, I'll play the whole thing once, and that's it.
You're tuned in to Anything Goes on member-supported WFDU-FM. I'm Lise Avery. We are talking to the remarkable Bucky Pizzarelli. I'm just going to name a few more names, see if anything pops into your head. What have I got down here? I've got Dick Hyman, the magnificent Dick Hyman.
Yeah, we do Dick a lot with 92nd Street Y.
Yeah, he's stepping down.
Yeah, I heard that.
So I'm really sorry. I'm very sorry about that, but maybe he's got another project in mind. Buddy Rich?
Well, that was a big thrill. Yeah, when I was with Zoot Sims, we were playing in a club in New York, and... This Sonny Lester called us in to make an album. Uh-huh. So we got there. It was supposed to be a duo. They got Milt Hinton there on bass and Buddy Rich with his drum set. And I looked at Zoot. I said, what are we going to do with four guys now? We can't send them home. Let's play. So we made a beautiful record with Buddy.
Do you happen to know the name of it offhand?
It was originally called Nirvana. And it came out in four different countries under four different titles.
Uh-huh. But we might be able to look for it if we search the internet. Yeah. How many records do you have under your belt?
Oh, I really don't know the number.
Yeah, it's a lot. I was looking at a book with a list of your discography, and it just went on and on. It's really, you've had such a remarkable career. You've also played, let's see, Warren Vacher.
Yeah, well, I did his first album with him,
And Ray Charles, you already mentioned.
Yeah.
I was actually surprised to see Carly Simon among the list of your credentials.
Yeah.
Which album did you play on with Carly?
I made a special thing with her. She was making an album on, I did some part of an album that she was working on. And... the most important thing was she did I Got a Crush on You. It was all Gershwin.
Okay.
And she was doing this in England. And you know George Martin? He used to be with the Beatles.
Of course.
Well, he came over to do this. And it was just the three of us in the studio all day long, you know.
Wow.
Play this chord, play that chord. And we went on for 6 hours.
That sounds pretty intense. Play this chord, play that chord.
Well, but... you know, she didn't. Well, if Carly didn't like anything, she would tell Martin, and then Martin would come over and tell me.
The joys of having a producer to bust the sidemen. Amazing. You've also worked with Les Paul?
Yeah, I sub with him, too, at the Iridium.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, once in a while when Lou Paolo can't make it, or the other guitar player, Frank Vignola.
Uh-huh. You'll have to let me know these things.
Yeah.
Because these...
Monday nights down there.
Yes, well, of course, Les Paul's been playing. He's 89 now, right?
Yeah.
He's got you beat.
Yeah, he's got, I know.
He lives here in Jersey as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, he lives up near me.
Do you guys socialize?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, once in a while, yeah.
Nice to have somebody who's got chops yeah. in the neighborhood. And you've also played on commercials besides the Texaco?
A lot of commercials, yeah. We did. I did Double Your Pleasure originally.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
Marlene Verplank did the vocal on
oh,
that, didn't she?
She could have been on a lot of them, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what she told me.
Yeah.
Double Your Pleasure, yeah. And you played on the tracks of 24 movies.
Yeah.
You didn't even know that.
Yeah.
Including the fabulous Baker Boys. And one that I play a great deal on Anything Goes, Sweet and Low Down.
Oh, yeah. That was the last one I did. That was with Howard Alden, the guitarist.
And I love Howard.
Well, Dick Hyman was the leader.
Yes.
And we had to emulate, in a way, Django Reinhardt.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't use a violin. They used a clarinet. Poplawski played clarinet, yeah.
Yeah, Poplawski, Mr. Yeah. Ken Poplawski.
Yeah, Ken Poplawski.
You don't have another nickname for Poplawski other than Poplawski?
Peps.
Do you call him Peps?
That's what they do.
Cool. Like, so I see. Well, I'll use that. Do you have a legacy, Bucky Pizzarelli, that you can, or a way that you would like to have your 60-odd-year body of work remembered or characterized?
I don't know. You know, you do so much work. I mean, it's just there. You know what I mean? Whatever you do, you do. I'm still working. I get calls to go out and do recording sessions. Not as many as I used to. But I still enjoy that, most of all.
Well, should I give your number if you want? Bucky Pizzarelli to show up at your gig.
If you need a guitar player, call me.
If you need a guitar player, call. I'll scroll it on the bathroom wall. Is there anything else that you would like to accomplish? I mean, you've not only created an enormous body of work and great music, but you've begat four musical children, one of whom
right
is ridiculously
there.
Famous, good for him. Is there anything else that you have
no,
in mind?
No, that's
that
it.
You...
I mean, you can't do everything, you know. And I really love what I do. That's all. That's all I can say. Rather than I want to play the Flight of the Bumblebee and make a gold record. I mean, that's the last thing I want to do.
Right. Well, like Billy Joel wants to be a classical musician.
Yeah.
Paul McCartney always wanted to write musicals.
Yeah.
Go figure. Right?
Yeah, that's right.
You are tuned in to Anything Goes on member-supported WFDU-FM. I'm Lise Avery. We are talking to Bucky Pizzarelli, who will be appearing at the Jazz Fest 2004 on the Madison campus of Fairleigh Dickinson University on Saturday and Sunday, June 12th.
No, is
it?
It's Sunday.
I have June 12th and 13th.
That's what we had, and I just resolved it yesterday. And luckily, we can all make Sunday.
What?
Yes.
Okay. The Jazz Fest is only one day?
No, the Jazz Fest is two
Your
days.
Your gig is Sunday.
Yeah, our
okay.
gig is on Sunday.
Okay, got it. But the Jazz Fest is the 12th and 13th,
right.
And you're going to be there on Sunday.
Sunday.
Now, who are you playing with?
With John Bunch, and Jay in
oh,
our
okay.
group.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I'm not sure who the other people are.
You're going to be there with New York Swing?
Yeah, that's it.
That's wonderful.
We'll do two sets, starting around 12:15.
Okay, now let me give people the information about that. I'll tell you who else is going to be there, just so you know. I don't know whether or not you're going to be able to have the time to walk over, but according to what I have here, Randy Brecker will be there.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I know Kenny DeVern will be there because I spoke to him most recently. Houston Person,
right.
Remarkable, rocker, remarkable musician. Rufus Reed,
yep.
Frank Wes. And it says here, although I have to say Kenny sort of blew it out of the water. It says that you're paying tribute to Coleman Hawkins and Fats Waller. Will you be doing that?
No, we're just doing the...
That's what Kenny said.
That's all. Kenny said that I'm going to be doing
no,
that?
No, it says it right here. It says that it's the whole birthday bash, the whole Jazz Fest is
oh,
a tribute
maybe. Oh, yeah.
to Count
yeah,
Basie, Coleman Hawkins, and Fats Waller. But no musicians that I've spoken to are doing that. So.
No, I'm for that Count Basie tribute, I'll tell you.
Well, there's a lot of birthdays this year. Glenn Miller, too. A lot of birthdays. So tickets at the gate will be $40 per day, $75 for a two-day package. You can call 732-271-7721 or log on to njjs.org. And is there anything else that you would like us to know about Bucky Pizzarelli?
Oh, I love you all.
I say that to my listeners all the time. Without you, there'd be no show. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank
it really
you.
Was
thank
a
you.
Pleasure and a privilege. And I hope that you will keep me posted with your whereabouts so we can tell everybody to
okay.
show up at the Iridium or yeah. the Jazz Fest 2004.
Yeah,
I got a new
album coming out, but it's where I talk between tracks.
Really?
Yeah. Tell a little story about it.
About why you chose the song, or?
Well, for instance, we were doing a gig with John Bunch and Jay Leno and for ASCAP, you know, mm-hmm. one of those awards dinners. Mm-hmm. And a lady came up and said, hey, can you play Will Away From Me? I said, sure. We went right into it. As soon as we finished, she came back and thanked us. Just so I said, well, how do you know about such a great song as Will Away From Me? She says, I wrote it.
Oh, wow.
And Runel, she,
wow.
You know, and then I go into the tune.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, little things like that.
Well, see, I know that there in that head of yours, there's all of these extraordinary stories. I'm not exactly sure what questions to ask to get them out. I know there's a story of going over to the Duke's house for his 75th birthday.
Oh, yeah, that was when I was with George Barnes. We had a duet.
Uh-huh.
And it was his birthday, and they were celebrating all over town in New York City, the Playboy Club, everywhere,
uh-huh.
Village Vanguard, and we played down there earlier, and then we went up to his apartment where we sat there right in front of him and played. And before we left, he said, just play the blues. And he started playing the blues, and he sang like 24 choruses. He made up the lyrics right there.
Were they any good?
They were great.
Oh, man. That's amazing. You were in the Duke's house. That's just got me floored right there. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
It really has been an enormous pleasure. And I don't know if Mario is there. He is there. Hello. Would you be kind enough, Bucky, to record some IDs for me?
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure. All of them or just one?
No, actually, if you could do all of them, because some of them are for one. The first one's for the Jazz Fest, so...
Yeah.
The second one is for this station.
Oh, I can do them all, yeah.
And the rest of them are for the syndicated program. What do you need, sir?
We'll let the tape roll in there. So I'm gonna
you would just want to cut it?
Yeah, if that's okay, Roger. Let me put it on. I'll put on another track.
Whatever you say.
And then,
you're the man.
I'm going to come and take some digital pictures also.
That's wonderful.
Lise, when I pronounce your name right?
It's Lise Avery, yes.
Lise, okay.
Yes, just don't pronounce it Lice. That's